new episode of the podcast. Yes, I had a kid over the weekend. I didn't have it. Wife did. Superhero. But we don't miss episodes, okay? Monday, upload 378. Kevin and I pre-recorded this before the baby came. We talked bowl games, talked a little bit about Iowa, Kentucky. We did our top five Christmas movies, and we shit on Drake a little bit. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Wash Up Walk On podcast. This is a ragtag operation tonight. I am on my laptop right now. It is episode, did I say 378? I don't even know if I said that. I'm literally just jumbled. Kevin's attacking on Clash of Clans. Today will probably be a short episode, and that's okay because we're nearing the holidays. It is, when you listen to this, the 15th, 16th, 17th, 19th? I think it's the 19th. So we're 6 days out from Christmas, my favorite time of year. I believe a couple bowl games have already kicked off at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe Monday. Yeah. When is the first bowl game?
I believe the 17th, the first bowl game's getting kicked off here.
So Saturday is the first bowl games.
Friday, the 16th.
Holy shit.
And it's actually going to be a good one that day. UTSA versus Troy, both ranked matchup.
That is a good matchup.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to lead it off with. Go for it. No, you go.
I was going to say, yeah, there's actually some decent bowl games. And, you know, if that doesn't do it for you, I think the NFL starts playing on Saturdays now, too.
Oh, they shift to Saturdays when college gets done, right?
They start playing three NFL games on this Saturday.
Yeah. Man, that's weird. Do you like that? It allows you to watch more games.
If there's no college games going on, but there's like six or seven games on Saturday.
Man, that's really odd.
Then there's a lot on Christmas Eve for the NFL.
The bowl game schedule is interesting to me because I don't know what means anything anymore, Kevin. What do bowl games mean?
Are you having an existential crisis right now? You don't know what life means.
I am. I'm trying to reconcile. You know, there was a time where Boise State would play Oklahoma, and it turned into a fabulous game, and it mattered, and people cared about it. And I just don't know. I don't know what bowl games. First of all, I don't know what the bowl games are. The names change every goddamn year.
Yeah, that is, it's a little unfortunate in that regards that we don't have an Outback Bowl anymore.
It's not the Outback Bowl?
No, it's not. It's something else now. It was the first year. It's not the Outback Bowl.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, sooner or later here, we're going to be playing in the KY Jelly Bowl. I mean, we're just selling out. The OnlyFans Bowl. In Las Vegas. I'd sign up for that.
Yeah, man. It's a different era in college football, right? It's the ReliaQuest Bowl now down in Tampa.
ReliaQuest. ReliaQuest has been saving their funds. They've been saving their money like a kid with their birthday gifts. And they finally saved up enough to buy a bowl game, huh?
Yeah. So no more team coconut shrimp or...
Blooming onion.
Yeah. No more of that stuff. Oh, and speaking of that game, we got the Illinois Fighting Illini and Mississippi State. It'll be an interesting game to watch.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
The passing of Coach Mike Leach.
We didn't talk about that yet, did we?
That
happened between now and then. So for those listening, this is obviously Monday's episode. On the episode that you heard on Thursday, which is a little weird because we're an episode ahead here as we record, but the episode that you heard on Thursday, we had a little, maybe a 2-minute conversation. It was literally an hour
after it was announced that Coach Mike Leach had been taken to the hospital. And we decided to cut that because we were sort of talking. We certainly weren't talking in a tone that was as serious as the situation was. And it just kind of sounded bad. We weren't making bad jokes or anything, but then that situation got real bad and all the way bad. And he passed away. And we talked about it on a little bit when we mentioned it, but there really was nobody like him.
Like one of a kind. Absolute one of a kind.
His mind worked in ways. He almost reminds me of my dad a little bit, to be honest, the way he would go off on like these random stories. I mean, he would spend 3, 5, 8 minutes on the most mundane shit.
My favorite was the one where he's talking to the reporter about getting married, and he's like, "The women lose their minds."
that was a good impression.
That was my favorite one. That one and his rant about candy corn. What other college football coach is just going to go off on like a 3-minute spiel about just any topic that you throw in front of him? You know,
you're right. Yeah. You're right.
And he was a content goldmine. Honestly, it's a sadder world in college football without him.
It's weird to hear about that. And I think that it would be really hard to play a bowl game after that happened. Like, imagine that program right now. How do you even focus on a bowl game? I mean, I'm sure you can try and say rally around, you know, for the do it for coach. But I mean, I don't know, man.
I no idea. Again, that's something we obviously never had to deal with, thank God. But it's definitely a tough situation for that team down there. And I don't know how you attack this month with all that happens there.
Back to, and maybe for them it's better because the bowl games don't matter as much, but back to the idea that these bowl games are sort of losing their meaning. Do you think that expanding, I've seen both. Do you think expanding the playoff to 12 teams, and we haven't talked about that yet on here, do you think that makes bowl games more important? Or what does it do to the 40 bowl game slate, right? Because now we have, essentially, you're going to have, I assume they're going to use 6 of those bowls for that first round, or I guess, yeah, I'm not even sure how that works.
So I think the way I've heard it is the first round would just be at the higher seeds place. Then the next round will be the next round and the semifinals will be the New Year's Six bowls, and they'll just rotate who gets to be a quarterfinal, who gets to be a semifinal. Then you have your national championship game. To your question, does it make the bowls be more important or less important? I mean, I don't know if it makes a difference at all, right? I know obviously people out there and fans are saying like, oh, bowl games are useless now that this is a college football playoff. Well, okay, yeah, there's 4 teams fighting for a national championship. But, you know, that's 10 years ago, it was only 2 teams. Were bowl games useless then? Or I don't know, man. To me, it's another opportunity to go out and play a game of football with your teammates. You know, Coach Parker would always say, is like, I don't care if we got to go play in a field in front of no one, as long as there's 2 teams and some refs there, we'll go play and we're going to try to beat their ass, right? I mean, that's all that really matters to players, right? And if bowl games don't matter, does any game at all matter once you're eliminated from the college football playoffs? Say you lose 3 games, say you're 4-3 in the middle of October, do all the games just stop mattering? I don't think it matters any less, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You bring up a really valid point that when there was just 2 teams that got picked to play for the BCS championship, that was back in the time when every game mattered. But I suppose, is it a thing where, okay, at that level, and I guess at four, it doesn't really make a difference because it's still just four teams out of 131. But at that point, it's like, okay, only two teams are playing in the bowl game or in the championship. Only four teams are playing in the championship. So yes, the vast majority of teams are just playing in other games. I don't know what changed it. Maybe it's the portal. Maybe it's the fact that these kids are, maybe it's the decisions of the kids. And this is sort of where I'm going as we get to the Iowa-Kentucky game. I mean, this is going to be a battle of the twos, bro. I mean, it's like, have you seen, I mean, Levis isn't playing. Mm-hmm. And neither is their star receiver. And I don't, maybe not their running back.
Bet I mean, we're going the under.
What, and what is, do you know what the line is at? It opened like 32.
It was low 30s when I think it was like 34 or something when I first saw it.
Pull it up here. Dude, I have not heard. By the way, I have the bull, so my computer finally loaded
31 up, and a half now. 31 and a half.
It's at 31 and a half. So
is that the record now? Because we were talking earlier about, I forget which game it was, but like 32 something. I was playing some other one as the lowest total ever.
I just looked it up right here. College football odds history, closing over under. Holy fuck. There was a game that closed at 90.
Yeah.
One game in the history.
Oh, it had to be like Baylor TCU back when the Big 12 never played defense.
It doesn't show me the team. It doesn't show me the teams though, but this is an interesting little, this is from teamrankings.com. The top is 90, and then the lowest is 31 and a half.
That's where we're at right now, baby.
31 and a half, and there's been one game that closed at 31 and a half, and I think that was Iowa this year. Was that Iowa-Wisconsin?
No, I think Iowa-Wisconsin.
Or did that close at 32 and a half?
32 and a half, I want to say.
Here we go. College football game has lowest over-under betting line in 20 years. Oh, it was Iowa-Minnesota.
That's
Iowa,
right, yeah.
Iowa-Minnesota closed at 32. Dude, and you're on this website. What the fuck?
Me?
Yeah, it's a picture of you and Ryan carrying the pig off the field in Minnesota.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a good picture.
Yeah, and well, guess what? The under hit in that game, so.
It sure did. It sure did. Wow, what a great picture there.
The Wisconsin was 35 and a half. 35 and a half.
Wow.
Still barn hit.
Burner. Barn
still
burner.
Hit. 34 total.
Do we know how many games went under this year for Iowa?
Oh, I want to say they were like 9-3-ish.
I was going to say 9-3. They went over in Northwestern because I remember I bet that under.
They did.
They went, yep. they went over in the Rutgers
Michigan game, I want to say.
I think they went over with Rutgers as well. What was the Ohio State?
Michigan game final was 27-14. Oh, so they went under by a point. It closed at 42. So under South Dakota State, under Iowa State, under Nevada, Rutgers 27-10 final. The was 34. So that was an over.
Wow. You gotta take that? Take it.
Nah, we're good. Okay. Ohio State obviously went over.
Yeah.
Northwestern went over, and Nebraska, I believe, went under.
What was the end?
No, went over.
24-17. So there's actually a few more overs than, or was it 8-4?
Just 9-4. 8-4.
8-4,
which is still pretty impressive.
I was gonna say if you just step up to the plate and Iowa continues to be Iowa over the next 10 years, if you just bet the Iowa under and you bet the same units every week, every year, year after year, you are almost guaranteed profit.
It's been profitable since, I don't know, since we left, since I started paying attention to it.
I finally got this up here. You're right. 31 and a half. I see even on sports. What is this? Sports Illustrated has a sports book now. Wow. SI Sportsbook has the game at 31.
I mean, but you said it though, man. we don't have our starting quarterback or a second string quarterback. They are playing their second string quarterback. They've got people opting out of the game. Do we have anyone that's opting out? Does anyone announce that yet?
I haven't heard of anybody opting out on for Iowa.
Just the guys that are transferring, right?
Yeah, just Padilla and the guys, I mean, Jacobs and, yeah.
Right, obviously they're not playing, but, yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be a low-scoring affair.
What, how do you... I'm struggling for, and it's not our job, right? But I mean, we're on a podcast, so we might as well talk about it. How does a team approach, how does an organization, a school approach a game like this? I understand how they approach a game like this. You're playing to fucking win the game. I get it. From a history standpoint, do we start to not give a fuck about winning a game like this, though? Like when they look back and we say, oh, we've been to X amount of bowl games and we've won this many bowl games, and then you put it in there and you're like, oh yeah, but the asterisk is they didn't play half of their offensive starters on the other team, and sure, we won the bowl game, but that's sort of where I'm getting at here. And it's like, you know, it used to be nice to be able to look up at those banners in the
right. Yeah, you know, KF used to talk about is like, hey, you know, it's hard to win bowl games because those are generally good teams that had right. good seasons, right?
And it's the last game of the year where both teams are going to give it their all for one more win, a trophy, and it means something.
Right, exactly. And that's an interesting point, right? He's like, you know, is there an asterisk next to beating, you know, Alabama, who God knows, like, how many guys opt out for their game? I'm sure you can figure it out, but, like, damn near every senior on there has got a draft grade on them. So are they all playing? And if you beat them, is that the same as beating Bama, right? That's a right. good point. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's really the same as anything else. It means as much as the programs, the players, the fans make it mean, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you don't care about football at all, your school's a basketball team or whatever.
Right.
And you lose a regular season game, it's like, oh, it doesn't mean a whole lot because we never made it to mean a whole lot, right? If you have a culture of losing like this, like, you know, you take any team that hasn't made a bowl game in God knows how many years, like, oh, we just lost another game. That's just standard procedure around here. Then it doesn't mean a lot, right? But because we make big deals about them, because we put a lot of effort to them, that makes it mean a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I think anyone who puts the effort in, you know, guys who are preparing all month for this game, it'll mean a lot to them, right? I don't care who's playing on the other side of the ball.
Sure. Well, let's take a quick second here to recognize that our show is sponsored by AdCraft. You guys are potentially wearing one of their pieces of merchandise right now, one of the beautiful t-shirts or hats or sweatshirts that we've printed with them. The designs are clean. The merch is quality. Their customer service is off the chain. The amount of stuff I've thrown at my guy, Colin, over at AdCraft has been a lot. It's always jumbled ideas and thoughts, and he finds a way, him and his team find a way to spit out ideas for the walk-on army that turn into reality, and they are 50% of our merchandise operation. They are everything that we need to provide quality merchandise to you guys, spit out the HBAM stuff, all the other designs. Their art team is amazing. Their customer service is amazing. The buying process from the clean looking web stores to their shipping, processing, delivering to you guys all over the country, not just Iowa. It's amazing. Streamline the way you offer your custom merch by utilizing their risk-free web store service. You don't have to worry about collecting orders or setting up pickup time to distribute your orders. AdCraft ships directly to customers, which allows you to reach a larger audience. All you have to do is promote your store and collect the profit check. AdCraft is a trusted source for custom merchandise for many, including us, Grandview University Football, Nestle Purina, ADM, and much more. Visit www.adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. That's www.adcraftwebstores.com. We're going to get you guys back to the show in just a second, but first we want to let you guys know about our title sponsor, DRF Sports. ia.drf.com. I'll say it again, ia.drf.com, to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brand. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola during the season as well. Be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the Walk-Ons.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. In this sense, I think that the expansion to 12 teams, with the way that things are going, I think that for those 12 teams, it almost saves and props up, at least through 12, the meaning of bowl games still. It extends out. As much as you want to extend out the playoff, it will make those games more important for those teams for 1 through 12. However, I think the bigger the playoff gets, and I don't know if this is where we stop, which is the scary thing. I mean, right?
They're going to try to turn it into March Madness.
I mean, here's the thing. Like,
obviously, like, any team that's in the playoffs that still has a chance for a national title is going to mean
right
the world, too, right?
A whole lot.
Yeah.
So there's 358 Division I basketball teams. That is an absurd amount. And if you divide, and I think 68 get to play because there's two playing games. So 68 divided by 358 gives you 19%. And if you take 19% of 131, that gives you 24. So,
and you know, as much as I love March Madness, right? It's a lot of fun to watch.
Super fun.
You can argue that letting in 19% of the teams devalues the regular season a little bit, right?
Certainly some, yes. And it's a little different because
I know there's a lot of automatic qualifiers because there's like 30 conferences out there.
Yeah, you
like
get that. Colgate who wins their conference and they get to play.
Exactly. But I would not want to see a 24-team college football playoff because it shouldn't matter if your team's, 9-1 in November and you got to win all three games to have a shot at making the playoff, right? That makes it more exciting as a fan. Yeah. Makes it more exciting as a player. It's like, hey, we got to come to play every week. And that's, I think, what has been the biggest appeal of college football for the last 50 years.
Is it last month?
How
the
much every single game in the season matters, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we have to be perfect all 12 games.
Yeah.
Now, you go from 2-4, you get a little bit of leeway, right? You can lose one game to a good opponent and get in.
Yep.
Now we go to 12. Well,
you can definitely lose two.
You can definitely lose two. You can probably lose three. Hell, with conference championships, you can somehow sneak in there with five, you know?
I was going to say, you get a team like Bama who, I mean, it does get hard at some point because if you lose four games, well, hell, how the hell do you make the conference championship? But then you look at the Big Ten this year and you've got, you know, a 7-5 team in Purdue or Iowa trying to make. So I could see a team like, I certainly could see a team like Tennessee. Well, not this year, but Alabama or Ohio State who loses three games somehow. Right. And because
right. It's going to be those blue blood powerhouses that have like traditional media bias, right? They get ranked really high in the beginning of the year.
with the higher recruiting rankings.
Even though Bama doesn't really have a good win on their resume, their best win is Texas.
Yeah, their resume this year is just they have great losses.
Which, whoop-de-fucking-do, you lost, right?
Right.
Who'd you beat?
Right.
You know, and there'd be no question that they'd be in this year. Are they probably one of the best 12 teams in college football? Yes. But yeah. Who'd you beat, right?
Right.
You can't hang your hat on losing to Tennessee by a last-second field goal or losing to LSU in overtime.
Right. And I totally agree with that.
And it should be devastating when you lose your second game of the year, right?
Yes, it should be. I mean, I'm trying to think about it in my brain because in the analogy to basketball, they play. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And basketball is a different sport though, right? Because you get these teams that small schools, that's really all they do is play basketball. You know, they play football, but it's not a big thing for their sport. But are a big sport for their school. But basketball is different, right? You got five guys on a court at one time. Some small schools can really compete with some big schools. And we've seen those small schools make runs at times, right? So I'm actually okay with them having a bigger field to play with. Football, like, if you're not in the top 10, there's really probably no chance you were ever going to compete for a national title in the national collegiate football scene, right?
Yeah. And I think,
right, I mean, you can even make the argument if right now, if you're outside the top four, you probably weren't going to compete for a national title. Now it's maybe a little bit different this year, but like for like the past 8 years ago when it was like Alabama and Clemson are like, you know, it didn't matter if we had the college football playoff or just the BCS, it was those two teams, right? It was who's going to win. Yeah.
I think with basketball too, I don't know how to put it into words or really describe why, but basketball games are way more volatile, right? You're going up and down the court scoring. The scoring happens every 30 seconds, every 45 seconds, potentially. Maybe in some instances, teams are scoring every 10 or 12 seconds. And I don't know if this makes any sense, but teams can kind of get lucky. They can get a little bit lucky in basketball where if you find a night where some dude or maybe
it's just hot that day.
Yeah. I mean, he steps inside the half court line and it doesn't matter if LeBron is on him. He's just raining threes. And the other team happens to have an off shooting night. There's just a little bit more volatility in that sport where not only could on any night something like that happen, but you also play, I think they play 33, 34 games. By the end of the regular season, it's definitely if you get into your conference championship. So with 34 games, it is hard to go out even against bad teams and win 34 times in a row. That's just sports. And mm-hmm. Their wins and losses don't carry the weight of the college football season where they, you know, where guys spend an entire week. I mean, fuck yeah. I watched you guys and the guys who were battling week in, week out. By the time it's week 8, week 9, week 10, it would take some of our teammates, maybe you on occasion, till Wednesday to even feel good, feel ready to play again. And
for a lot of the guys, it was Thursdays, needed the off day.
Yeah.
Needed the off day bad, and you had to be really active about your recovery to feel good again.
And it's like that dumb SEC saying, like, it just means more. Like, in football compared to basketball, it does just mean more. Every game
well,
does.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously you can say that just because, like you said, the amount of time in practice put towards each game, right? Three times as much amount of practice time to game time in football as you do to basketball.
Right.
So that means, yeah, each one therefore means more. You've put more into it.
Yep. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know if you can even pull or draw that cross sport comparison because they are so different. But if these dummies on the committee, whoever they are year in and year out, decide, hey, especially if it starts to make a shitload of money.
Oh, it's going to make so much fucking money, dude.
Because now,
so much money.
Because now we've propped up this idea of the playoff, and now 12 teams get in. So if your team makes the fucking playoffs, oh shit, we made the playoffs. I'm getting a ticket. I'm going. Because I don't know when the team's going to make the playoffs again, right? This pisses me off too, because, you know, by the way, we would have been in the playoffs. I mean,
yeah, that's sickening. But yeah, the thing I don't like about it is you're going to have some of those teams that are literally in it every single year. And some of it will be deserving, some of it won't. Like we said earlier, it's going to be like some of those big name bias. But I'm not going to lie, I'm a little happy to see Alabama out in the cold this year.
That is nice to see. I would love if the parity in college football played out sort of like it did this year, where Alabama, Clemson, I mean, those two were running shit. And now neither of them are going to hold that trophy. Now Georgia has pretty much solidified themselves over the past 3 or 4 years as like, fuck, man, they're
top dog now.
But I'm okay with that if a team goes on a 5-year run. And but Alabama for the last how many years? 12 years? It's like, okay, well, it's just them. Years?
Yeah, since 2009, it's just been a Bama show.
I'm looking at, I just pulled up the FCS bracket to see how many teams make their playoffs. And it looks like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. It looks like 24 teams make their bracket. That is out of 130 FCS teams. So it's basically identical. I could see something like that happening. I could see them going to that.
That's a long fucking season, man.
It's long, and there's not a lot of bowl prep. The bowl prep essentially gets, if you don't make the playoff, which by the way, if you don't make the playoffs, now if you're a school like Iowa, the season was probably that becomes a marker where it's up enough where if you're not a top 1 out of 5 team, 1/5 team, 24 out of 130.
You're saying if it gets up to 24?
If it gets up to 24, if you don't make the playoffs, a lot of schools are gonna, the playoff line is now gonna be a failure marker.
Correct. Yeah, for a lot of programs. Yeah. I'd say like the top 25% of each Power Five conference, like the goal is going to be to make the playoff. It should be
right. Right. And for the Big Ten,
even the thing I probably don't like about the idea of a 24 team playoff is the metric for getting in becomes a lot more subjective.
Because now you're down at 24 and you're like, okay, there could be 6 teams that might be 24th in 10 different people's opinions, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
Now, at that point, you also, you know, it becomes like the NCAA tournament where, you know, there's like the first 4 in, the last 4, or the last 4 in, last 4 out, and there's, you know, there's 6 teams waiting there on the bubble. And if you're a bubble team and you don't get in, you can't really be mad about it because, hey, you're fighting for 24th, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You probably weren't going to win the national championship earlier. Like I said, like,
yeah,
the way college football is right now is if you're outside the top 10, you really don't have much of a chance.
Right. And I don't think, again, because it means more, because there's such a higher level of preparation and I believe, even though it's hard for me to explain it, a less volatile result, less volatile results in football. I don't think that if you put 24 teams, if you lined them up right now and put 24 into a bracket, I think you're still probably going to get the top 8 teams. Like, there's not going to be upsets like there are in the basketball tournament. I don't think there may not, be a couple.
Not as likely, because again, football is more of a team sport. You need a whole collective team playing very well versus basketball. Like, you can get by with one guy just going the fuck off, right?
Right. Yeah. The quarterback in football can't just take the snap and just, you know, score. sometimes.
Yeah, but, unless your name's Cam Newton, but
or Johnny Manziel
or Vince Young. But those are very rare occasions that come across college football, like once every 8 years. Yeah, upsets will happen, right? Because upsets do happen.
Yeah.
Just like they do in the regular season. But I don't think you'll see teams go from 24, beat the number one seed, and just make a run at it, right?
No. Here's the thing.
We had some pretty good upsets in our time, right? We beat Ohio State by a lot. Sure did.
Fucked them.
Do you remember what we did the next week?
Yeah, we lost to Purdue.
You revert back to the mean eventually.
And that's the thing, Kev, because in basketball, what does basketball require physically to compete with the other team? It requires a lot of cardio and maybe a little bit of that skill luck happening where you're just on fire, right?
Technical skill. Sure.
In football, the physicality, the beat down on your body is so much more important that after a game like that Ohio State game we played, where every guy is on octane, right? 200% effort. We're trying to drive these fuckers into the ground. That takes a lot out of you emotionally, physically. And to, in a playoff scenario, come back a week later, if you're an upset team, right? You just upset whoever. Now you're expected to go do it again. And now if you want to,
we can't go out and celebrate that upset we just had.
And then if you want to win the national championship, you have to do it at least one more time and maybe a fourth time in a 2014 playoff. Let me pull that up again. Oh, fuck. Did I fuck it up? Yeah, right here. In this 2014 playoff,
so there's got to be some buys, right?
The top eight seeds got a buy. Mm-hmm. And then every one of the top eight seeds had a game that was playing in to play them to make it a round of 16.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, the bottom 16 teams were paired up in eight games, and the winners of those eight games faced the top eight seeds. And now you're just playing a Sweet 16. So if you're one of these teams who doesn't get a bye, right? Even if you're the ninth best team in the country, I don't know who's number nine in the AP poll right now, but if you're the ninth best team in the country, you have to play one, two, three. You have to play five fucking games to win the Natty. One, two, three, four. You have to win five games.
Against,
there's no chance.
Against top tier, right?
You're playing the top teams. Talk about what they call the ringer. Your guys are gonna be taken off on a stretcher if you're trying to. So I just don't know the value of backing it up that far. So hopefully, I know, and this is all hypothetical. Hopefully, 12 is where they stop it, and they use the bottom eight to play similar format. They use the bottom eight to play in to the top four teams, and you have an elite eight, and then you play down to a four, play down to the chip. I mean, that's still four games if you're going to win a national championship from the 12 spot or the 9 through 12 spot.
Hard to see it happening.
The physical toll, I think, is just it would be
having to play an extra game too. Yeah, just
be tough.
We'll see, man. We'll see. But I think we've kind of said it all. It's expanding it to be more inclusive is not going to do those bottom 12 teams any favors.
Here's what we've learned through this conversation, Kevin, is inclusivity doesn't always make sense.
It's true. But bringing up the FCS playoff, that our buddies over there at South Dakota State are in the semifinals. They still need to lose any other game.
Number one seed.
Honestly, might be the best win on Iowa's resume this year.
Wisconsin was okay.
Wisconsin finished 6-6.
Okay. Might be right.
Minnesota or South Dakota State.
Wow. And just for shits and giggles, by the way, with what we just talked about, the highest team in the Final Four is a 7 seed, and they upset the 2 seed. So they played one of the playing games against a non-seeded team, and then they upset the 2 seed, And now they will have to upset North Dakota State, the 3 seed, to then go and play probably South Dakota State, the 1 seed. Yeah, dude, I think South Dakota State has a chance. They played in a barn burner game. I think they beat North Dakota State, their obviously rivals, 24-21 earlier this season when they played. And they're probably going to match up in the championship again. And that'll be an elite game.
That would be if that actually, I'm going to watch that game if that happens.
100%. 100%. So, yeah, I'm hoping they pull that off. It makes Iowa's, we said after that game, hey, watch out. These guys could run the table and potentially be the best team in the FCS. They would beat a lot of teams
in the Big Ten, dude.
In the Big Ten.
They would not be the worst team in the Big Ten.
And the FBS in general. Favored,
let's look through it. Huh? I'm saying they'd be favored versus Northwestern.
Yep.
Probably versus Nebraska.
Yep.
Field goal game, maybe, you know, probably toward the dog side, field goal versus Wisconsin, Minnesota. A little bit more than a field goal to Iowa, Illinois, Purdue. Favorite to Rutgers, Indiana, maybe even Michigan State.
I'd love to see him play Maryland.
Field goal game to Maryland, and then, you know, 2 touchdown plus to Penn State, yeah. Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could fight for middle of the road in several Power Five
conferences. They might make a bowl game if they.
I think they'd have a chance if you gave them an FCS non conference, they'd win all those games.
Yeah, give them 3-0 non-conference, and then win 3 more Big Ten games
easily.
It's just a random 9 out of 14 draw. Yeah, I think they make a bowl game.
It's an interesting conversation. Those are a lot of kids who are like a lot of kids like us who end up at Iowa, but there's just only so many spots at Division I programs, and then the kids who for some reason couldn't get a look or just didn't get a chance, they end up at that program. And North Dakota State,
a lot of them mature late too, and
yeah. Let's see, what else did I have on the docket tonight? I think the only thing left with that playoff talk was, Smith and Jigba for Ohio State sitting out of the playoff. And I realized he was hurt this year a lot. So, you know, but God damn, we got players sitting out of the playoff, bro.
Word on the street is, you know, he was dealing with that injury, he had already had his sights set on the NFL.
I was going to say he's dealing with an agent too already.
Oh, I'm sure he is. You know, they all can have their agents now, but, yeah. Word on the street is like, he kind of checked out of this year. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's just the scuttlebutt.
Is it hard to believe though? How many guys did we know who like just really didn't care like we did, you know? There were some. It wasn't a large percentage,
right? And, you know, honestly, the ones that maybe come to mind didn't work out a whole lot for them.
That's,
maybe
they should have
cared a little bit more.
At Iowa, those guys kind of wash out. Iowa's pretty good at weaving those guys out, but there's those guys are out there certainly that just
I mean, you know, was it Jamar Chase who just sat out the whole year and just waited for draft day to come around?
It might have been him. I don't know. Smart move.
Or was it Jordan Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson.
He was one of the LSU receivers. I want to say it was Jamar Chase.
Well, it worked out for him.
He just, I think it was the COVID year too. And he just like, I'm just not going to play this year.
Yeah. Here's what's
still top 10 pick, right?
Here's what's weird is
Nick Bosa sat out. He's like, fuck it, I'm done after week 5 or something like that, right?
Yeah. I remember talking about that. It's just for a guy like me and you. That doesn't enter our psyche. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't compute because we're not that talented.
I mean, there's making decisions for your future, right?
Right.
And there's, I mean, that is selfish, right?
In some certain instances, yes, absolutely.
It absolutely is, right? You're making the best decision in your mind for yourself, right?
Yeah, which absolutely.
At a certain extent, like, you know, guys sitting out the ReliaQuest Bowl. Okay, whatever.
So
sitting out a whole fucking season on your teammates.
I agree. I
I as a guy, if that had happened to us, as I'd be like, what the fuck is up with this dude?
Yeah, well, and I was just going to say, right, like, hey, maybe for you and your personal and no one else gets to judge this because it's your life. You get to go do what you want to do. Maybe you go to the NFL like Jamar, Justin, whoever made that decision. They're now one of the best players in the league. Bosa is one of the best defenders in the league. You're making millions. Great. But on a bigger level, right, that whole thing of making men and making good fathers and good good people that KF likes to harp on and is big on. I don't know if that kind of decision speaks to you in life being a person who, and maybe it's not that deep, but I don't know if I choose you to go to war with, right? I don't know if you're my ride or die as a friend. I don't know.
It's difficult, right? Because if that is your friend, you want the best for your friend, right?
You do.
But you also want the best for the team. And
yeah. And you sure would like,
especially like for these guys competing for national championships. Like, hey man, I know you're going to go make your millions and shit, but the other 115 of us would really like a national championship ring.
Yeah. Be a big part of that. Fuck. It's the money is so big now that it makes it really difficult, because I'll be honest, if I was in that position, I can't say I wouldn't. I don't know what I would do.
No one can say what they would do unless they're actually in that position, right?
Right, right.
So it makes it hard to judge.
Yeah. So this comes out on the 19th. By that time, all of these bowls will have some of these bowls, Kevin, I swear to God, the Hometown Lenders Bahamas Bowl.
Dude, I would love to go to that bowl. Go to the Bahamas.
The Bahamas Bowl is, yeah, that would be cool. The field is trash every year, but it looked like.
Who gives a shit, man? You get to go to the Bahamas. Can you imagine? I agree. Can you imagine the night after the game in the Bahamas?
Oh, bro.
The one night of the year, there's absolutely no rules and the coaches don't give a shit. You're in a foreign country, man.
You're in a foreign country. Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude, that would have been a problem. I know that would have been a problem.
That would absolutely be a problem. I would have loved to go to the Bahamas Bowl.
That UTSA Troy game is the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl. Louisville versus Cincinnati in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. What the fuck? Wasabi?
Wasabi Jackson, is a brand? I thought that was just
I thought it was a hot green paste that in Japanese food. Jackson State versus North Carolina Central in the Cricket Celebration Bowl.
No, dude, how come Jimmy Kimmel has the LA bowl?
He's got his own bowl. What does he need a bowl for? And then as you get up a little bit, I mean, at least
claim.com Boca Raton Bowl.
I mean, I'd go to Boca Raton. I'm not saying I would
go to Boca Raton.
The Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Dude, these are not cheap to get the fucking naming rights of a bowl game.
It depends, honestly. Some of them aren't that bad.
Really?
I think you can get some. This might be dated information, but there's some that you can get for like $250,000.
Whoa, dude, we're coming up on that.
Are we gonna get a washed up walk-ons?
Well, I'm pretty sure the walk-ons restaurant got a bowl game this year, or they have one lined up in a couple
years. They had one in years past. I don't know if they still do or not.
I don't see it on here anymore, so they must have dropped that, but. Can you imagine the washed up walk-ons bowl game?
Well, you
can only bring your walk-ons, no scholarship players.
No scholarship players allowed.
You have to play with 30 people. Tell you what, the players in that game would fight their ass off.
Would it go over 31 though?
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe it might go over 91. It might go one way or the other.
It's going to go one way or the other. It's going to be no one scores it. There's no defense, one or the other.
Yeah, so
I like how the Rose Bowl game is still the Rose Bowl game presented by whoever decides to sponsor the year.
Yeah. The Tax Slayer Bowl, Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, that's not one you want to find yourself at.
The Hawk Slayer Bowl.
They should just rename it that. We were going to do a top five Christmas. I don't want to do a top five without Drake.
Well, you could read him Drake's quote, and I don't think he wants to do that top five anyway.
All right. So we want to do a couple Christmas top fives as we near and are around the Christmas holidays. Do you have your top five, Kev, that we're going to do?
Yeah, I got it if you want to.
Okay. So we're going to do top five Christmas movies tonight, right? Christmas movies, obviously a big part of this time of year. And Drake, who was going to make us push it to actually right about now if we were going to get him on the recording, which he knows we record on Wednesdays. I don't know what he's doing. He said, let him know my top five is all Christmas movies fucking suck. So there's his attitude with it.
Spoken like a man with, you know, not surprising out of Drake. Not surprising out of Drake.
Sometimes I don't appreciate his effort.
He is the Grinch, and his heart was just five sizes too small.
It's about 50 sizes too small, but we'll roll with this. Do you have five? Did you have to do any honorable mentions? I had to kick one out, and I'm going to honorable mention it here.
You're going to honorable mention one?
Yeah.
I think I got a pretty good five. My honorable mention would probably be Elf, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Elf is like your top two, or I'm guessing, huh?
It's top two, not two.
Okay, so Elf is my honorable mention.
Okay. My honorable mention is Polar Express.
Okay.
It's an animated movie. It's very much so sort of a children's movie. But I remember watching it, and I think I cried. I think it was a good movie, and it was entertaining to me. And I'm not a very hard movie critic. I just like all movies that I watch, basically. But I like Polar Express. That's my honorable mention. And then
Polar Express, great book. I feel like the movie underdelivered.
It might have. At number five, I'll go back to another animated movie. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Respect it. Really do respect that.
Some people do not like that movie. They can't get into the...
Super old-time animation?
Yeah, they're not into it. I find it actually pretty good. I like it.
Okay, I respect that. My number five, I'm going to go with Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay, and see, I searched before this when I decided we were going to do this, a list of just, you know, 50, 100 Christmas movies, just to make sure I wasn't forgetting any. And this one was one that was high on a lot of lists, and I hadn't even heard of it. I have not heard of that.
It's a classic. You got to go watch it. Old timer, okay. But it's an absolute classic.
And I haven't seen some of the older movies. I would say the oldest Christmas movie I've seen, it was last year. I decided to watch a couple that I just because. And I watched Scrooged. Decent movie. Not in my top five, but it was okay. Humbug.
Yeah, is Drake Scrooge or is Drake the Grinch?
He's very much so the Grinch, I think. Because he just enjoys.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah.
Number four for me is Christmas Vacation. Watched it for the first time last year, actually. And with my in-laws, we all went down in the basement, popped it in on CD. Wasn't even like on a streaming service. We watched the actual CD. And great movie.
Huge. I'm a huge Chevy Chase fan.
That is a great storyline, good comedy, good actors, just all around great movie for me.
Yep, absolutely. Good pick. My number four is I'm going with A Christmas Story.
You
haven't seen that one either.
No, you? I've seen A Christmas Story. That's the one with the little kid.
Little Ralphie. Yep. Wants a BB gun more than anything else.
Yeah, it's a good movie. That's a solid, you know. It's one of those classics, right?
It's an all-time classic, man.
Number three for me is going to be Home Alone, the original, the OG.
The original, the second one in New York, also pretty solid.
After good movie.
That, it goes way downhill.
Not sure what they were doing in the franchise. After that, I think it was a money grab, but...
It absolutely was. But I'm going to meet you right there. Home Alone is my number three as well.
Let's go. Quite honestly, the top three for me were hard to rate. It's like 1A, 1B, and 1C for me. Home Alone is a movie that, like, when you're a kid, you get a little worried. You're like, oh my God, is someone going to break into my house? Like, I remember
as a kid, you're also like, awesome. Like, I get the whole house to myself. I can do whatever I want. And he just starts going off.
Yeah.
Like, that is the dream as a little 8-year-old kid, dude, especially when your name's Kevin.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think about that.
It was my idol.
Yeah. Kevin! What did you do to my room?
Like, so many moments in the Home Alone movie are so like memorable. Like when he puts on the aftershave and he in the face, he's watching the mobster movie. He's like, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to get out of my office.
One, two, ten.
And he's that fill you with lead line is amazing.
Oh, when he's ordering the pizza and he has the mobster movie talking.
Yep. Just like the fact of like Harry and Marv pulling up and there's lights on and he's got the fucking cardboard cutouts of people dancing and shit. Like,
I think my favorite quote in that movie is, "We're gonna come back, get some grub, and come back around 9 o'clock. It'll be dark then." And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's smart. Kids are afraid of the dark." You're afraid of the dark too, Marv.
God, that's good. Those two honestly made that movie.
Oh, absolutely. They're phenomenal. Honestly, might be a crime to only leave it at three, but
and that's why I said these top ones were hard. So both of us had it at number three. My number two, maybe controversial, but Bad Santa.
Okay.
Bad Santa, I don't have a great justification for it other than Bad Santa spoke. I've
actually seen it, though.
What?
I've never seen Bad Santa.
Oh, you haven't seen Bad Santa. So my justification for those who have seen it is the type of comedy in Bad Santa speaks directly to my soul. It is one for one, like a perfectly made comedic movie for me. I just, that kind of comedy is funny. And then it just it's just a good movie. You'll have to watch it.
My number two is going back to your number four, A Christmas Vacation.
Okay, yeah,
I love that movie.
And it deserves that spot. It's a prime time player.
Shitter's full.
That is my father in law's favorite line of that movie.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And then and number one at me for me, and I already said it, is Elf. This might be wife influenced, but if there's one movie that we watch every year during Christmas, it is Elf. We watch Elf all the time. Will Ferrell he's got some incredible stuff, and I think he actually has a new Christmas movie out this year with Ryan Reynolds, I believe.
Oh, really?
Or somebody. I could be wrong on that, but I think they have a new Christmas movie out, and But Elf is a goddamn classic. I mean, he saves Christmas, but you know, I just picture him. He's like, oh, he's an angry elf. Like, he comes to New York the first time. There's that little midget who writes. I don't think you can even say midget anymore. Cancel us. I don't care.
It's the same guy who plays Tyrion in Lord.
Yes. Yes.
In Game of Thrones.
Like, I just see him at the dinner table going, there's four food groups for us elves. Candy canes, candy corn, and syrup. And he's eating that spaghetti with all that shit on it. It's a well-made movie. I like it.
Yeah, it was in my honorable mentions. It's a solid movie. But my number one, I'm going in a different direction. I'm going with It's a Wonderful Life.
And you are that person. And I'm not going to hate on it because it is it's number one on a ton of lists out there. This is another one, again, that I have not seen. I mean, I think this thing was made in, what, the 50s or 60s?
Yeah, 40s maybe even.
40s? Jesus Christ, I didn't even know they had film back then.
It's a Wonderful Life was 1946.
Holy shit. I mean, that's World War II, bro. What is going on? They had time to make movies back then? What is the plot?
Released January 7th, 1947.
Like, what is it? It's worth watching, obviously, if it's your number one.
Yeah, absolutely worth watching. All time story.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to watch that one. And I'm going to have to watch the Miracle.
Well, if you're a crier, you're going to cry now because apparently.
Oh, dude, by the time people hear this, I'm a dad. So, you know, and becoming a dad, and even just the process of, you know, being pregnant, not me being pregnant, but your partner being pregnant, I have gotten exponentially softer in the last 9 months. I cry at random shit all the time. I'll cry at commercials.
Those Sarah McLachlan commercials come on with the dogs.
Not those. Those are annoying as fuck. For just $17 a day, you could put a walk-on through university. For just $4 a month, you could subscribe to our Patreon and be supporters of our brand. Drop us your favorite Christmas movies. What do we miss? Obviously, we'll put out the graphic here, and I'm going to make Drake look like an asshole on it.
He deserves it.
I'm going to put, actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I already know what I'm going to do. Drop us your favorite Christmas movies. I believe that we're going to do another.
You're going to make him look like the Grinch, aren't you?
I'm putting his face on the Grinch body.
Yeah, that's absolutely what you should do.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna send, and I'm going to put the quote in the top five boxes that says, every Christmas movie fucking sucks. And he's going to look like an asshole.
And he is an asshole. So that's
and he perfect. Deserves it. He deserves it. And then I think we're going to do a top five Christmas traditions on the next episode. I don't know when that's going to be, because this is probably the last episode we record before baby comes. And who knows what fucking life looks like after that. But we thank you for joining us on 378 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. That's our Christmas top five. There's a long discussion about the college football playoff and if bowl games matter. The Hawkeyes playing like a two deep bowl game. The Hawks are at an advantage here. I think the Hawks are probably favored at this point. What's the line on that game?
They are favored. It was a Hawks -2 last I saw.
So it might actually be a great bowl game to watch. I hope it is. But with that, we'll leave you there. Hopefully you're having a great holiday season. If you're already celebrating a little bit early, we'll be here. As always, next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.